I'm Mari Dangerfield, and you're listening to Sound of Stylus, a podcast all about the stylophone and the people who do cool things with it. This series is sponsored by MusoSoup. MusoSoup is a platform that seamlessly matches artists and their songs to a curated selection of blogs, playlists, influencers, and radio stations. At the click of a button, artists can opt into a range of free or paid offers pitched directly to them, so they can be sure what they choose is suited to their budget and to them. Thanks to MusoSoup, my music has featured on R Sound Music, York Calling, Sound V System, Mystic Suns, and more. So, if you're looking for coverage for your new or upcoming release, head to musosoup.com or check the description. Please note that this episode features discussion of mental health. The PNK Stylophonic Gift Shop, or Punk SG, is a stylophone-based musical and video performance group consisting of Smokey Stubbs, aka Matt, Fluff Tadpole, aka Dave, and Lazlo Giuseppe, aka Nick. Founded in 2019, they make musical covers of fun tunes, TV themes, and library music, as well as their own original material, all showcased on their YouTube channel. Fluff Tadpole, the musical mastermind behind the project, joins me to share more about their beginnings and future plans.
Hello, Fluff.
Hi there, how are you?
Good, thank you. And you?
Good. Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you. Not too bad.
Good. Apparently, this is what you were saying to me before we started. You are in a special purpose-built space for today.
Yes, that is right. Yeah, it's kind of part of my... I can't call it rehabilitation, but when I was at my lowest ebb, yeah, I needed things to, you know, concentrate my mind on. And one of those, we've got a great big garage out in our back garden. It doesn't get used for anything. And so half of it I've now converted into a music studio. So, well, I say music studio stroke home cinema. But yeah, so this is where I basically record all our stylophone music.
That's amazing. That's so good as well to have your own little space that you can just retreat to. That's really
It is. It's lovely. Before I was up in a spare room, which also got used as a bit of a dumping ground. And so, you know, you end up getting more and more squashed into a tiny space. But no, this is fantastic. This is, you know, I have to give a massive shout out to my elderly mother. For helping fund me do it, but I did the whole thing single-handedly, so that was a good, you know, something that I can be proud of.
That's fantastic. Well, it looks great. You're sounding great.
Thank you.
So I'm curious about something. So the PNK Stylophonic Gift Shop, that's your name as a group.
Yeah.
It's quite an unusual name. Like, it's not the first thing that comes to mind, at least for me. For a musical group, which is great. Like, it's so original. Where did the idea for the name come from?
The whole thing started due to I mean, I know we're going to talk about this, but mental health. I have had a couple of breakdowns in my working life, and it just so happened that during one of those times I discovered that Smokey and Laszlo were both in the same situation. We were all, you know, off work, on tablets, not feeling good. Laszlo I've known since I was two, so I've known him with donkey's years. Smokey I've known, you know, 20, 30 years probably now.
Amazing.
And just to find, you know, three of us that have all kind of led different lives, all end up in that situation of feeling depressed and in a dark place. So we got together just as our own little support group, really. Me and Matt would hop in the car and whiz off down and see Nick. And during those times that we were all so depressed, I remember just sitting there thinking, surely there's something that the three of us could do that would remove us from the situations we were all in that made us feel so low. I must admit, years went by, still with that little idea in our head, until Smokey came up with the idea of doing stylophone music.
Okay.
And so we then were after a name that would suit us for stylophones, but also something that was going, that was a kind of umbrella, an umbrella name for us. Mm-hmm. Because initially we didn't know that we'd end up playing the stylophone, or I didn't.
Oh, okay.
It was, what can we do to pool our talents? And the three of us try to create something. Obviously, Doctor Who was our first cover, mm-hmm. and our first tune. And so we were just desperately trying to rack our minds. What would be good? Could we use the names of the towns that we come from? Uh-huh. And so that's where the PNK comes from, Poole, Northampton and Kettering.
Oh. Which
is where the three of us are based.
Oh, that's so cool.
And the SG originally was support group. So we were our own little Poole, Northampton and Kettering support group. Three chaps all with mental health issues just trying to help each other get through the day.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, so Punk SG became this kind of umbrella term, but it fitted in with Doctor Who because obviously mm-hmm. Doctor Who originally, obviously because it's BBC, and the BBC Radiophonic Workshop.
If right, I thought that might be one of the
and so really it was a case of due to we wanted this umbrella term, we also wanted, I mean, it is a convoluted idea because the SG is the thing that can change depending on what we're doing.
You've really thought that through, though. That's really, really cool.
We have thought it through, but sometimes you think too much about stuff. And then it becomes so convoluted that you think no one's going to actually understand what you're on about or what you're doing. But that is the convoluted, you know, reason behind it. So BBC Radiophonic Workshop and the PNK Stylophonic Gift Shop worked a treat. And so that's how we came up with it.
It must be the coolest band name I've ever heard, honestly.
Well, you can, you know, we do... I do refer to us as Punk SG a lot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I refer to the Stylophonic Gift Shop as just the Stylophonic Gift Shop, but mm-hmm. it's all part and parcel. And to be honest, now me and Smokey are really up and running with the Stylophonic Gift Shop. Mm-hmm. That could well be all there ever is. I don't know whether we'll end up ever doing anything else because me and Smokey love doing this. It does take up all the time that we have, and
that's lovely.
You know,
that's
with really Punk SG or the PNK Stylophonic Gift Shop, depends how much breath you've got in your body to say it. it's difficult because the idea floated around for a while and we didn't really know what to do. It was Matt Smokey that turned around to me and said, how do you fancy making stylophone music? Because he's Mr. Retro. He loves all his retro stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so stylophones, something clicked in his head and he just turned around to me and said, oh, yeah, do you want to make music on stylophones? And initially I was, what, you mean those little, you know, just the little stylophones? And then he opened up the world of 350s to me and S2s. Yes, that's why really we ended up as the Stylophonic Gift Shop, thanks to Smokey's mad idea. And to me, it's become a little bit more serious because since my last breakdown, I've not worked. So mm-hmm. I literally am living off the love of my little family and my elderly mum, who put up with me. And so in the back of my mind, there's always that you've got to try to earn some money. But that's not why we really started it. You know, it's to raise awareness of mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And to try to make people smile, you know. I mean, I'm a very dark person in my mind. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to make this a positive, you know, happy little corner of the internet. So
that's so beautiful.
Yeah, so that's really why we started it.
Really nice. I mean, obviously, music is such an important tool for so many people for their mental health, myself included.
And I know, I gather, I do gather that.
It's the truest form of self-expression, I think, that most people can find. And it is that first and foremost, of course. It's only kind of certain systems in place, obviously, that have enabled people to have it as a source of income if they want to. But, you know, we don't have to believe that that has to be the case.
You know, you get so much from it. I mean, part of the pleasure I get from this is actually completing tunes. Mm-hmm. I've got endless amounts of things over the years that I've done, and none of them I consider finished. None of them I've really wanted to get behind and push because I haven't felt, just not felt they're good enough. And part of us doing Punk SG, me and Matt said, if we're going to do it, we've got to stick to a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And often my partner Lindsay says to me, why do you put yourself under so much pressure to get to a deadline? But that deadline is the thing that makes you proud, and the thing that means at some point I've got to stop worrying about the music that I'm making, whether it be a cover or my own, and say, yes, Matt, that is now finished. We can release it.
Absolutely.
Whereas in the past, I've just never really had that output, you know, and that's why me and Matt work so well together, because I'm a Luddite when it comes to social media and, you know, modern technology, really. Whereas that's Matt's bag. So between us, we work really well together.
You're a dream team.
Well, you know, a nightmare team, really, I think. Because, you know, one of us is always trying to lift the other one. You know, when one of us is feeling down, the other one's trying to chivvy them up, saying, come on, we can do this. And every 4 weeks when we actually get a new video out, it's high fives all round, and, you know, we've managed to do it again. So
that's so good.
Yeah, it's little victories, but sometimes you have to take those, don't you?
Exactly. And then you've got something that you can look back on and say, I did this. I achieved this. And you can be proud of it. Like, what's better, you know?
And I am proud of what we're doing. I am very proud of what we're doing.
You should be. It's fantastic. It's so good.
It's really it's really appreciated. Really appreciated.
You've talked about Matt kind of introducing you to stylophones.
Yeah, I mean, I've had stylophones in the past. I was around, you know, when they first came out.
Mm-hmm.
So they've, you know, throughout my life, they've always been something that's been there, you know, in popular culture or whatever. I've had them in the past and fiddled around, but I've never taken it as a serious musical instrument. And so when Matt originally said, let's try stuff on a stylophone, I was like, okay, so do you mean everything's got to be recorded on a stylophone? Can I add drums to it? Can I do this? Can I do that? I've got to grab one so I can lovingly stare at it.
Yeah.
You know, looking at this little thing, thinking, what can we do? Mm-hmm. How much variety can you make with ultimately quite a small, cheap, what you could consider as a toy? And initially I was thinking, well, you know, I started messing around with a few ideas. And then he revealed the 350S. And when he showed me that,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, I was kind of blown away by it. I wasn't aware of their existence. you know, hang on, all of a sudden, here's a stylophone with, you know, I don't know how many octaves you've got on that keyboard, 4 or so. and it just suddenly, it just opened everything up to me. Yeah, all of a sudden, when I was recording these stylophones, I was thinking, do you know what? this isn't that buzzy little wasp-like sound that you get from your ordinary S1s. You know, the 350, I love the kind of Hammond organy sounds you can get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The brass stuff on it, you know, trumpets and things, for me, they're as good as most of the synthesized trumpets you get on, you know, in GarageBand or somewhere. Mm-hmm. With a little care of recording, the 350 is a thing that absolutely blew my mind and blew me away and went, this isn't actually a toy. We're mm-hmm. not going to be necessarily making music that is gimmicky. We can actually make music that sounds really good.
Right.
With these stylophones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is gimmicky in a way, because there's not everyone, I guess, that makes music from stylophones. It's not, you don't see it in the charts as much as you see a guitar or keyboard. and then, you know, bless Matt. I started getting stylophones through the post. I suddenly had a Gen X post from him. I was going, Matt, you've got no money, dude. How can, you know, how can you really be supplying me with these stylophones?
That's amazing.
But I think, you know, he knows me. He knew that if he started putting these things in front of me and saying, Dave, try to make some music on that, I'd give it the best go that I possibly could.
That's
amazing. And so from the Gen X and the 350, obviously he's got his collection at his house. And then everything I've got at mine has either been a lovely gift from the lovely people at Stylophone, mm-hmm. who've sent us a couple of freebies, or things that Matt has sent through. Has just said, Dave, I've bought some more stylophones. You better have one of these at your house. So I now here have, we've only got one Gen R8 between us, which I've currently got here. That gets moved back and forth.
Okay.
I've got three 350s at the moment sat in front of me. One of them, now the reiteration stylophone on a 350,
mm-hmm.
I believe shouldn't do anything unless you turn the reiteration on.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do, you get the bip, 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 bip. However, our 350S that we called Johnny 5, because it was Matt's fifth one that he bought.
Wow.
The reiteration. Yeah, so we've got five between us.
That's mental. That's amazing.
But Johnny 5 had this, we don't know why, but the reiteration stylus, if you turn the reiteration on, it would work as normal. If you turn the reiteration off, it would work like a normal stylus.
Oh.
So actually, I can suddenly hold two styluses in my hand and use the same keyboard.
Oh.
Which was a weird, I don't know what's wrong with it.
Something's really right with it.
Yeah, exactly. Sadly, as these things are, circa 1970s, very much like myself, I went to change the batteries and one of the battery connectors has failed. So I have now replaced it, but it's making so much noise that I can't use it. Which is a shame. So Johnny 5 is currently upside down with its bottom off and wires everywhere. And I need to have a really good look, because as you say, it was a, we think it's wrong, but it's a brilliant wrong.
Yeah, it's possibly so, a unique one as well.
exactly. We were, you know, that's how I managed to, it sounds quite simple, but one of my favourite little bits of stylophoning that I've done mm-hmm. was the heavy metal section of the Magic Roundabout.
Right,
because
yes.
There is a little solo in that sounds mad. It's got lots of runs, and that was all done on Johnny 5. And sadly, you don't see me play it in the video, but that was actually two styluses crossing hands. And I was impressed. I was impressed with myself when I did it. But sadly, it doesn't make it into the video.
That video is so cool though.
But the video, yeah, that was a cracker. We can get on to that. Because that was a cracker to make. So instead, yeah, hence I've now got three 350s because I've had to borrow another one off Matt. I've got them stacked up like a Hammond organ with two. And so I used one hand on one hand on the other. And that's how I've managed to record The Exorcist, you know.
That is a real hack for anyone listening. Stylophone 350S stacking.
Yeah, stack them up. I mean, I think for our, we weren't usually in our Halloween videos. We don't actually show any stylophonings because we leave it down to our little boys who, you know, our little Michael and Jason that we've got who act in them. But for this, for The Exorcist, we may actually pop a bit in because Matt said he's too impressed with the stacked stylophones. They look too good not to stick in a video. So you may see a little bit of it in there.
Oh, exciting.
I mean, for me, the 350 is just, it's got to be my favourite. If we were putting a plea out to the great people at Dubrec, my ideal stylophone would definitely be a 350 size keyboard with the functionality of a Gen R8. So you could have all the sounds, but a decent size keyboard to play on. Because there's nothing like when you're doing a solo, there's nothing like being able to slide onto notes, slide off notes, do kind of big sweeps, and it's far better with a bigger keyboard. And
with a stylus as well, like a proper stylus with the wire on it, right?
Exactly.
Than trying to do it with your fingers.
The Gen R8, for me, that's where that falls down. How can you call something a stylophone that doesn't have a stylus? So for me, that was where, you know, that has its little, it's a little bit of a slip for me because I feel at least it should come with one. I don't mind if it's going to be wireless, you know, like the S2, because the S2 you get a stylus with, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
But definitely, yeah, my ideal stylophone would be a kind of 350 with all the knobs and things on it that you get with a Gen R8.
I'm totally with you with that one. Let's put two votes in.
Yeah, absolutely. We can lobby
them. If Dubrec are listening.
Because they know they'll sell at least two, won't they?
Yeah.
Well, when Matt hears about it, they'll sell about 20 because he just buys endless amounts. So, he's mad. He loves it. But you obviously see in the background of the videos, if they're ones that we're playing, you can see all these stylophones lined up across the back.
I know, your collection's incredible. It really is.
Yeah, I think he's got at least two of the early ones.
Right.
As I say, we've got five 350s between us. We've got two S2s. Again, because Matt loves the collecting, but I said to him, look, we can only meet up a couple of times a week. It's just when I can get a car and get over there. We do all the filming at his house, but I do all the recording at mine. And it was very much a case of, Matt, it's fine you collecting all these stylophones, but if you think I can come over twice a week and record all the music, you've got another thing coming. It's going to take me a lot longer. So that's why, this tidal wave of stylophones just keeps coming my way.
Someday you're going to have literally the same in your... You'll have a whole replica set in your own home.
Yeah. I mean, that is almost where I'm at. Mine are the ones that get used a lot. I mean, I don't know if there's anyone out there that's ever managed to wear the tip of a stylus down, but I'm getting very close to it.
What do you think personally? Because I know you've found a love for the stylophone. Everyone in PNK has found a love for the stylophone. That's why you started the group. But what do you think kind of draws other people to the stylophone? What do you think makes it so popular? Because it gets more and more popular all the time.
I think to begin with, I think part of it has got to be the kind of money entry point. To be honest, I don't know how much an S1 costs these days, but
is it $34.99?
You know, that's like that. Not a lot of money for a musical instrument, is it really?
Yeah.
I do feel with the S1s that they kind of fall maybe more into the toy category.
Definitely. That's how they were marketed at first, wasn't it? It was like a novelty toy.
Exactly. I don't know whether anyone uses them in schools or anywhere, but as an alternative to something like the recorder, as a starting instrument, is fantastic. You know, it's monophonic like a recorder is.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's got an octave of keys, so you can learn your notes on there.
It's so accessible. Right?
It is accessible. Yeah, because, you know, if you buy an S1, you buy an S1 and it is an S1.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you go out and buy a guitar and there are lots to try and they all feel different and, you know, have different sounds and this and that and the other. Ultimately, you go to a shop and you say, I want to buy a Stylophone S1. And you get exactly what you expect, don't you?
Uh-huh.
You can actually turn it down, which I think for people, any parents with kids that have done recorder at school and they're home trying to practice, it's probably the best thing.
Honestly, yeah, I think that the headphone feature.
So the headphone feature, being able to plug your phone in and play music through it and play along is a cracking little feature as well. Yeah, and the fact that you can actually turn them down, so if you want to not annoy people, turn it down, stick your headphones in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to learn music on it would be a great little thing.
Totally,
because it's simple. And I often think you can just get blown away by things that are too complex. Something that I found really helpful doing the Stylophone music is that I have to work within parameters. You know, we're working, these are our instruments. I put them through my guitar pedal, and I will use add effects afterwards. But ultimately, it is me playing that instrument. When I write music out for Matt, I can't write it out as music,
mm-hmm.
because he won't understand it. So I have to go through. Literally, I write A, B, 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 A, A, B. But I do always split it into bars, and I try to give him a vague indication of the timing by putting things through the bar,
mm-hmm.
you know. And obviously, he'll then listen to it, because usually I've recorded stuff first. So I'll record it, and then I will go and say, here you go, Matt, you can listen to my recording, learn it. I've written everything down for you.
Right.
But even doing that, I'm often going to him, I just don't feel I can give you enough information on this piece of paper. Whereas if I wrote it in music, I probably could.
Yeah. I think
it's a funny thing. It's a funny thing. I know people have asked us for tabs online, and I know it would take me ages to sit and go through one of our tunes and write out the tab for it.
There's literally a whole community on Reddit that's constantly asking for tabs for everything. I don't know if
you're... Is there? No. I really am. I'm very much a Luddite when it comes to social media and being online. It sounds weird from someone that now has a YouTube channel, but that's very much Matt's bag. That's, you know, without Matt, I wouldn't be on YouTube at all. because I just don't think I have the gumption to be able to set everything up like that, you know, so I bow down to him. I go, look, I'm just a, all I can do is make a few sounds on a stylophone, you know. If you can help me out, then that's great. But that's what I do.
All credit to you for being the musical the musical
So
master
while I
Mike,
try, I do try.
and to Smokey for doing the incredible videos.
I know he's fantastic. I think I don't know. Well, for you and me, music's probably our thing. Then if we're feeling low, that's what we dive into. Smokey, he lives on his own. He has his comfy chair that he sits in, surrounded by screens. That's his place. That's his, I'm not feeling great. But if I can sit in my chair and edit videos, he's calm and happy and content. And that very much is his thing. That's what he enjoys doing.
So we've talked a little bit about the Doctor Who theme and how it inspired your name as a band.
Yeah.
That was presumably your first ever upload. It was uploaded on the 1st of January 2020. It makes excellent use of the beatbox and 350s. Can you talk us through a typical journey of making one of your videos from concept to final product?
Yeah, that's fine. It very much is a case of, I mean, to begin with, when the idea came out, we had, there was a little while, you know, 6 or 7 months of me diving into the stylophones and coming up with things and going around to Matt's and going, look, you know, here's a version of Grandstand or here's a version of Doctor Who that I've done. What do you think of it? But for Doctor Who, I'd done Doctor Who. Matt learnt it. One of the original things I said to Matt is, if I'm going to spend time doing this, I would actually like us to play the stylophones. I don't want to do something where we're sampling stylophones and then using the computer to put the notes where we want them. That's not my bag. It's if we're going to do it, technically, we must be able to go out and play in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may well never happen, just due to our mental states, really. I would love to go out and play live, but I know Smoke is in a position at the moment where poor chap is feeling quite low. So whether we'll ever be able to, I don't know. But that was, for me, I don't want to start playing the stylophone, and if anyone asks me to play a stylophone, I'll then not be able to play it.
Yeah.
You know, I want people to go, wow, this has all been done and someone's actually played all of this. So generally, I mean, Doctor Who was a very simple tune. We went right back to the beginning and kind of referenced the original Doctor Who theme. Because again, there are so many covers out there and different versions of it and official versions. So we kind of said, let's strip it all back and do something as the original would have been done. And due to his retro nature, I think Matt already had a TARDIS and, you know, a little TARDIS model and Dalek models and the likes.
Yeah.
Luckily, my sister actually had knitted me a Doctor Who scarf, proper from the original template for
so
it,
nice.
Which is fantastic. So we had those few little props, and it was very much a case of, for that first video, Matt said, "We will just play, green screen us, we'll play our parts, and then he will make lots of lovely visuals to go behind us." So everything you see on that Doctor Who video, they're all toys that he's had. We if we want anything spinning, often we'll just pop it on a record, pop it on a turn, you know, a record deck. He uses a green slip mat.
Oh.
So you can, you know, if you want a TARDIS to come whizzing on screen, you stick it on a turntable and film it rotating. And then he moves that around, you know, around the space in the video. And that's how we do all our spinning stylophones and spinning TARDISes or whatever's going on. There's lots of putting them on turntables and getting them to turn around.
That's such a hack, filming hack for stylophone special visual effects.
It is. I mean, actually, the very first video me and Matt did together, actually it may not have been the first one, was nothing to do with Punk SG, but we did we did a cover of Telstar
that
did all right. We've now actually reposted it on our site. But that was the first thing we did with a stylophone. And that was done on an S1. It wasn't as rigidly stylophone as we are nowadays.
I see.
And that has lots and lots of spinning stylophones. And for those, I strung them up on bits of green string and just spun them round. All these stylophones spinning in weird directions. Literally, they're hanging off a bit of green string that you just spin and video.
So literally, if it's green, you can use it as a...
Matt has he has green screen equipment at his house, so we put up a big green bit of material behind us and then he key it all out, and so he's got lots of green. He's got bits of green that we can kind of stick anywhere.
That's so cool.
when it comes to videos, so that's how everything spins. Some videos or some ideas are far easier to come up with than others. I know I mentioned the magic roundabout earlier, but that was the idea. If you're going to do a cover if you're going to play the magic roundabout and do a video for it, the first thing that comes into your head is, well, for the video, you have to ride the magic roundabout.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
what else is P&K going to do?
Exactly. You have to ride the magic roundabout, which is fantastic. Unless, of course, you've never done any 3D modelling in your life. And the tune is about 30 seconds long. So, you know, really, what are we going to do about it? Again, that was something that I knocked up a very little version, a very quick version on GarageBand of the Magic Roundabout theme.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I dived every time we do a cover, I listen to as many different versions of it as you can. I like to kind of get to know the song inside out.
That is such a tip.
Yeah,
good tip.
I just feel if I'm going to do someone else's music, now we don't generally... I know I'm going off on a tangent, but we don't generally go out to take a tune and do a completely different version of it. Our kind of thing is to make the best version of it that we can using our stylophones.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than going, well, everyone's heard Doctor Who, we better do a drum and bass version of it just so it's different.
Yeah.
You know, it was very much a case of, no, let's go back and see how close we can get to the original sound using stylophones. Mm-hmm. So that's often the base of it. So again, with the magic roundabout, I watched, you know, you go on YouTube and watch the titles, but as the years go on, the titles change and actually the music changes in the background as well. You realise that they use different versions of it. So I generally then discuss it all with Matt and we decide what elements we're going to put in for our version, what we're going to leave out. And the magic roundabout was very much a case of knocked up really quickly on GarageBand, thought it's only 30 seconds long. What does it sound like with a ska beat behind it? What does it sound like with a trap beat behind it?
Mm.
And we kind of went, this all works really well. that's the way we're going to do it. So when I came to recording that tune properly, I recorded in Cubasis, my own version of the tune. And one of the limitations of Cubasis is you can't change tempo. You can't put a tempo track in. So there's no way you can get a tune to speed up or slow down. It's one of the limitations of the... iOS version of Cubasis. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that in GarageBand either.
Okay.
So I recorded my kind of basic version and then loaded it into a new project of its own, sped it up by a few BPM, my own R version of it, and then recorded more stuff over the top. And then when that was done, I'd take that and stick that into another new version. So each time, so there are five different projects.
Wow.
In that one little bit of the magic roundabout, but it was the only way I could do it. And that's a way, again, for me, if I was on the computer, if I was on a PC, where I know I can program in a tempo track, I wouldn't have had to think about it. Whereas, because I'm working on the iPad and I can't do it in one go, you have to find a solution.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I find, one of the things I find most enjoyable about this is the fact that me and Matt are working in small parameters. Mm-hmm. We don't have loads of money between, you know, we have very little money between us. So we're always scratching around for what have we got? What have we already got that can make a video?
I think that those limitations kind of have pushed you to find new ideas or new elements to include that you would maybe not have thought of.
Absolutely. I think it's fantastic. I'd rather kind of use something simple and hit the barrier with it and then try to work out how you can go that step beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And so by doing that, we split it into the five parts. Each part got faster and faster. And then when it came to the video, as I say, we both looked at each other and said, we've got to ride the magic roundabout. So how can we make that happen? First of all, we had a look to see if there was any footage of the magic roundabout with no one sat on it, but there isn't.
Okay.
So because we had thought, Matt did a test again by taking some footage and using, I think he's got a stuffed Dylan toy from the magic roundabout. So again, you put Dylan on a green triangle on the turntable of a record player. You mm-hmm. film him spinning round, and then Matt can take that footage and actually map it onto the magic roundabout.
Okay.
So we tested that out first. So we managed to insert our own Dylan onto an original bit of magic roundabout footage, and he looked like he was going around the roundabout.
Okay.
So we then searched as far and wide as we could and couldn't find any footage of the magic roundabout going round with no one on it. So we said, well, that we can't do that. The only other way is to do 3D modeling.
Okay.
And so literally, we kind of had our usual 4-week turnaround for us to attempt to learn how to 3D model and create a magic roundabout.
No way.
All I can say is I'm really pleased that the music was quite easy to do because that was quite swift, but the modeling took us ages. I went through 3 different programs on my iPad. I actually did the modeling of it.
Oh, cool.
I know now if I had to do it again, I'm sure I could probably, I don't know whether I could do it better. I could do it quicker. But that was a case of, we don't know how we want to ride the magic roundabout, and no one is going to stop us, and we will go until we can ride a magic roundabout. And so it probably took us a good couple of weeks between us. Again, I'm working on my iPad, Matt's on PC. Uh-huh. So we can't share the same program, but right. We're giving each other tips. So I ended up doing the main modeling, and Matt ended up managing to map the texture and the colors onto it. And between us, yeah, we ended up with a magic roundabout that we were both going, do you know what? For two people that have never 3D modeled before and have had to literally open programs and learn it for the first time. We were so proud. And then, so we got our 3D model, which Matt can then put into his bit of software. I think he uses HitFilm, which right. is a free piece of software. He could put that model into HitFilm. And he then created the 3D magic roundabout land behind it.
Wow.
And then to get us on it, we did have to spend money. Sometimes I go, Matt, you need to stop, mate. but he bought a turntable that we could take our weight.
Oh, okay.
So then we green screened. He created the back of a horse out of a dustbin, some cardboard, and green material. He made this kind of saddle, green saddle, on top of the turntable, and then we would one by one sit on it and very slowly do actions as we very slowly spun round. And then again, he took that spinning image of us, mapped it onto our new 3D model of the Magic Roundabout, and all of a sudden, me and him are riding the Magic Roundabout.
Wow.
And that was one of those cases, you know, that was the Magic Roundabout's the best, definitely brought the best in me and Matt out. And I think
I can see that
because we said we wanted to do something that neither of us had experience in. And rather than just going, no, we can't, we went, right, we better get on. I better start downloading some 3D modeling programs and see what we can do.
That's sometimes the best part of these creative ventures, isn't it? You're forced to kind of learn new skills.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh, wow, now I know how to do this.
Absolutely.
Now I can make this video even cooler.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we do try to, one of our friends said to us, he thought the videos were getting better and better and better, and which I agree. I just don't know how long we're going to be able to keep it up for. You can't always get better and better and better, can you? You know, surely at some point you go, well, you know, I think we're just about run out of ideas. But
well, I don't know about that. I think you're doing pretty well.
We try, but yeah, that is definitely, Magic Roundabout definitely is a standout kind of triumph for me and Matt, I think. So, yeah, I mean, we always chat everything through. You know, mm-hmm. on Mondays and Wednesdays, we hook up. Once we've finished the previous month's video, it's always a case of what are we going to do next? Sometimes we have plans and we've got notes written down of tunes we'd like to do, or whether we think we should be chucking a new original tune in.
Mm-hmm.
But then it is very much a case, once we've established what we're doing, as we'll both sit and discuss it. I'll throw video ideas at Matt. Matt throws music ideas at me. And both of us take them on board. And generally we say, our line is, if I ask for something in a video and you can't do it, Matt, as long as you can explain to me why you can't do it, I'm happy with it. And it's the same with the music. He'll say, can we do this or that? And I say, I can give it a go and then I'll try it. And if it doesn't work, I go back to him and say, look, I have tried your idea, but it doesn't work because A, B, and C. So, you know, I have final say as far as the music goes, and Matt always has final say as far as the videos go, but we're both always throwing ideas at each other.
You both have very sort of clear visions of what you want to achieve on each end, and then you're just kind of using each other's skill sets to kind of find that.
Yeah, very much. Very much so. You know, I would never step on Matt's toes when it comes to the filming. He's the one that likes, you know, I say he lives on his own, but you walk into his lounge, honestly, and one end of it is all PCs, or it's a PC, loads of screens where he sits and does his editing. The other end of it is where we do our kind of as live recordings. So if you ever see us in a video playing, that's at the other end of Matt's lounge, which has a great big tower that we MacGyvered together with all our lighting on top of it.
Wow.
And yeah, screens so we can see what's going on and cameras set up. You know, I have often said to Matt in the past, I'd quite like us to make a video that is very much showing things as they are in reality before Matt has done his nice, you know,
editing. That'd be very cool.
And go, look, show the reality, because I know one of your favorites is Grandstand, the way Matt managed to stitch mm-hmm. all of the stylophones in, and that's what he's brilliant at. Because he's I think there's lots of people that can make music and videos, there are lots of people. I mean, YouTube's full of people and the internet is full of people making videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. I must admit, I look at a lot of it and think why anyone would want to show people stuff that they put up there is beyond me to know. So very much it was a case of if we're going to do this, it at least has to reach a certain standard.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm not going to want to put my name to it, you know. So, and I think that's the thing. It's having fun, but taking it seriously enough that when you go, yes, we finished, we've hit the deadline, you know you've done everything you possibly can to it in that time scale to make it as good as we can. And mm-hmm. so for me, you know, I'll spend ages twiddling with reverbs, trying to, you know, find whether the reverb's right on something, whether I need to have different reverbs on different instruments. And they're the bits that I really enjoy, the getting into the depth of it, the actual sitting here recording
mm-hmm.
endless amounts of tracks. And Matt's thing is very much sitting down and going, right, I've found a bit of stock footage of some sports that we can use. Now let's grab the stylophones and see if he can stitch them in. And that's, you know, that's what he does. And the fact that he will spend the time, he shows me videos and I look at them and go, Matt, that's great. And he goes, yeah, but there are bits around this that I need to neaten up and I don't quite like that and I need to neat it up. And I'm thinking, to the layman, it looks great.
Yeah, it's already good.
But, yeah, but, you know, it's that attention to detail from him and me, I think, in our own little field that hopefully does actually make it sound, you know, make the audio and visuals a little bit better than two idiots just banging up any old rubbish, you know, for the sake of a video.
much better than that. Much, much better than that.
Tune in next week for part two of Punk SG's episode. If you're enjoying this episode so far, it would mean the world if you could give the podcast a 5-star rating and share the episode on social media, tagging me at Mari Dangerfield and the podcast at Sound of Stylus. You can find us on Instagram at Sound of Stylus and on YouTube by searching Sound of Stylus.